Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel.
Here's Cortinel. He scores! Cortinel speeding in!
Each week they unleash their raw, stripped-down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
All right, let's get ready. Coming up on today's show, we got a beauty for you. Remember Steve Nash? Of course you do. Canada's greatest basketball player, multi-time MVP. He was really, really good at hockey. And he was a buddy of Russ's. We talk about that. Some rule changes. Okay, Russ. Not bad. Not bad. Russ has some good ideas there. Bobby Ryan, what a feel-good story this was. I think everyone knows about it by now. This guy came back from almost the dark, dark side that a lot of players can go into. And what a cool game when he showed up back in Ottawa for his first home game. Russ can drink. Okay, this just in. A couple of drinking stories. We always love those. And Russ should have ended up playing in Detroit. And of course he didn't. But wait till you hear why he didn't end up there. That and much, much more coming up right now on The Suspendables. Okay, here we go. Does everyone have on clean underwear? Have you gone to the bathroom? We're taking a trip. Okay, everyone pile into the car. It's time for, we're on our way to The Suspendables. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there it is, everybody. Welcome to another week. Rusty, you know, I just love it. I love doing this every week. And, you know, as I think back, we've done 36 or 7 shows now. And I look back at all of it. And I think to myself, I wonder if there'll just be one show where fucking Russ can bring something. Mm. Okay? I'm just hoping once. Okay?
Well, we know why you're so excited. Because you've got fuck all going on.
Okay. I want beeps. We're trying not to swear. We're not very good.
I know.
At it. Another good week, Rusty. You snapped the White Claw. I don't know if you saw it down there, but you're probably, there's no more up there or down there anymore because of social media. All you got to do is click on Twitter. People are lining up. It's come to Canada. And by the way, folks, the answer is no. White Claw is not a sponsor of our show. We did reach out to them because Russ is single-handedly, I think, may have a lot to do with the reason White Claw is so popular. So I did. I tapped out an email to them, said, look it, you're getting a freebie here, okay, from a superstar former NHLer. And they said, yeah, fuck, we don't need you. Forget it. Yeah, forget it. And apparently they don't.
No. Do you see the lineups?
Well, when was the last time? The last time I saw lineups for a product was many years ago when I was in New York.
Viagra?
No, doing a gig. No, not Viagra. I was doing a gig and I walked down, you know, New York, you just can't help but walk around, you know, it's so cool. And I went by an Apple store and it was lined up around the corner to get the new iPhone 2. Right?
Yeah,
it was like people, you know, concerts, right? You see people sit outside to get tickets for concerts, you know, tenting, camping out, all that shit. We've seen that for years. But this thing was unbelievable.
Yeah, White Claw, my Canadian friends, they just, well, it is gluten-free. Yeah. It's 100 calories. It's 5% alcohol. And young kids are drinking it. Older people like me are drinking it that are gluten intolerant and then don't want the calories. It's a Canadian company, by the way, that was they start selling it in the US first, and it's outselling Budweiser.
Come on.
And so Budweiser's come out with a seltzer, just came out recently.
I guess so to
get into this marketplace. And what I've read is that it's not a fad, because there's a lot of fad drinks that come and go. And
sure.
This guy on the Business Channel was saying it's not a fad. Everyone who drinks White Claw brings 3 other people into the marketplace, because once they try it, they bring at least 3 more drinkers into the of the product, and they're just killing it. And it's you know, they've been waiting for it in Canada, and here we are.
Well,
a couple days in,
I'll tell you what, this guy must know what he's doing. Okay, and I think his first big drink was Mike's Hard Lemonade, which everyone was aware of. I think it's the same guy.
Yeah, Anthony Von Mendel, and I don't know the other. I think there's two guys that created it, and he is their partner. I think right. That's how it works.
Well,
but I'm not 100% sure on that. But I do know two guys in Vancouver that that created this product, and Anthony Von Mendel's part of it. And I think they created Mike's Hard Lemonade together also.
I'll tell you what's amazing, Russ, about this. Who in their right mind today? So when I met you, Russ, back in the day, when I worked for, I don't know if I was working for Molson, I might've met you slightly after, but when I worked for Molson, there were three breweries and mm-hmm. there were three drafts. It was Molson, Labatt, and Carling O'Keefe back yeah. in the time. You probably remember that.
Yeah.
So that's all there was. And then the big thing was Molson brought Coors to Canada and Coors Light, the Silver Bullet. So wind the tape ahead. My daughter runs a huge bar on White Avenue, which is in the university area. It's the equivalent of St. Catherine's Street and or the market in Ottawa or, you know, all those Electric Avenue in Calgary. That's the equivalent. Huge bar lined up around the corner. So I every once in a while I pop into Embarrasser, you know, which is, it's a young kid's joint. And she showed me there's 180 different drafts.
Yeah.
In her bar.
Yeah.
Who in their right mind, Russ, would ever want to take on the beverage industry? And this guy comes up with something that is off the map that everyone wants.
Yeah. And it's amazing.
Amazing story. I didn't know beer. I guess gluten's in beer, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's lots of that. Well,
and this isn't a vodka-based drink either. It's a malt-based, so it's different than other seltzers.
What's it taste like? What does a seltzer taste like? Like, what's the closest?
It's like a sparkling water with flavor and alcohol.
Why are you drinking it?
So there's different flavors, right? There's black okay. cherry, which I love.
Right.
And then there's grapefruit, raspberry, mango, lime. Mm-hmm. And now there's other flavors. They're coming out with different flavors. But at Gosser in the summer, they run out of black cherry first. Then they run out of grapefruit, then raspberry, then lime. And then they're stuck with mango.
Right.
And you can buy them in 12 packs of each, you know, different flavor, or they sell these multi-flavor packs. And so the food and beverage department has to buy whatever they can get because it's the most popular drink now at Gosser, other than, you know, margaritas and wine and right. stuff. So,
yeah.
So finally last summer, they came to all the people at the tree bar and said, look, we got so much mango downstairs. You guys are not getting another black cherry, grapefruit, raspberry, lime until all these mangoes are gone.
We got to knock them out.
So yeah. For 2 days, they're crushing the mangoes, and then finally the black cherry showed up again. But it's so funny because you go to one, there's a few places you can get the White Claws at Gosser, and you're like, do you have black cherry? No, go over there. I think they still might have some.
That's funny.
But yeah. it's a phenomenon to and, see yeah. what's going on. And I'm so, you know, it's so cool that a couple Canadians came up with it and it's doing so well. And what's odd is that they were selling first in the U.S. and then they were approved in Canada, just allowed to sell it a couple days ago.
Yeah, I don't know why. Anyway, we're giving a lot of kudos to a company that's not giving us a dime, you know, but that's okay. It's a totally interesting story. And maybe approvals are quicker in the States.
Yeah, maybe.
To get stuff done. But
we're not about facts here. We're just fillers. No,
exactly. What's it cost to play golf at Gosser? How does that work?
Well, you got to own property to be a member, so it's not open to the public. It's private.
Oh, okay. And what's property start at? $3 million or something?
No. You can buy lots from, including membership. Now it's May 8th. The membership goes up, so it's going to be minimum 500 US to probably about $1.2 million for lots, and then built product is 2 million to 6.5 million.
Can I buy a lot? And is that included? If I buy a lot for $500,000, am I a member of the golf course?
I was kind of including the membership in that. So yeah, all in, you're looking at 500 for the membership and a lot, you could be in for 500,000.
What a steal.
Yeah.
Anyway, Rusty, lots to get to. I've got a list of things. So the trade deadline comes, and Joe Thornton doesn't get traded, which is fine. You know, that can happen, cannot happen. No, I don't really give a shit. He's been around for 17 years. I don't know him at all, but I sure don't like him anymore, Russ. When he came out after he did not get traded and popped off saying, this is unfair, I wanted a trade, I didn't get traded, I want a shot to win a Stanley Cup. It's just not, it's not right that they haven't done this. Management knew that I wanted to get traded.
Ouch.
Just on and on and on. Yeah. And I looked at this thing saying, you want to win a Stanley Cup? Why didn't you do it for us? You know,
yeah,
I just found it was the most obnoxious follow-up to the trade deadline from anyone that I'd heard. I've never heard a guy say that.
Yeah, that's too bad. I didn't read that. And that'll definitely be a mark on him, you know, saying that, because you get, you know, he's played a long time. He's been paid very well. It's a job. Yep. And not everybody gets to win a Stanley Cup. We all want to. And that, you know, trade of an older player, Ray Bourque, going from Boston to Colorado so he could win. And Glenn Sather used to do it in Boston in the 80s when they were winning all those cups. He really tried hard to get Boreas Alming, great player, had lots left in the tank, and Toronto just wasn't willing to move him. But Slats was great at bringing in an older player, and they'd go on to win some. He did it with Matt Tavish, Ken Linsman, Acton. He brought in Kent Nielsen. People have done it, right, in the past. But then to go out and publicly, you know, whine about it is just not good.
Well, I would like all the other story is on your future son-in-law, okay, Eric Kendricks. Who plays for the Vikings.
Yeah.
There's a receiver there, Diggs, who plays on that team. I don't know if you know every player.
He's awesome.
He's awesome until he opened up his mouth. Okay. I don't know if you saw what he said not too long ago, a week or so ago, that he comes out and says, now, he makes $10 million a year. Okay. Mm-hmm. They threw the ball to him 63 times or something. Mm-hmm. He's had over 1,000 yards every year for the past two for sure, and maybe three. And he comes out and says, I'm really disappointed in my team because they didn't pass the ball enough to me.
Yeah.
Did you read that?
Yeah, no. Well, okay. So I don't understand football like I understand hockey, but they had a running game that, you know, he's complaining because they don't throw the ball enough. And he's a great receiver. Love him.
Yeah.
And he wants them to throw the ball more to him. He wants the play caller to... Mm-hmm. To include him more in the plays. I don't think he's totally wrong. Like I don't know. It's kind of borderline maybe selfish, but if you're a great receiver like he is, trust me, when we're playing, we're yelling at the quarterback to throw him the ball. We think as fans, he doesn't get the ball enough. So.
Well, fair enough, Russ. Okay, all that's fair enough that if you don't, you know, this shit happens all the time. You got strong personalities, you got big egos. Even you said, you know, one of the most difficult things when you have an NHL team is these kids come in, they all want to be in the first line. And you got to handle them, right? Saying, no, you're going to be on the kill and you're a fourth liner. All sports is like that.
Yeah.
Fair enough, Russ, but that's an issue between you and the coaches and team meetings and locker room shit with the players.
True.
To come and go public... Right, you leave the management nowhere to go, nowhere to freaking go with this thing.
Well, maybe that's what he's trying to do is get them to throw the ball to him or trade him.
Well, I understand. Well, even if they are, Russ, even if they are getting them to trade him, you're not going public with this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Thornton should have shut his mouth. This guy should pipe down, you know. Anyway,
back to the trading. Yep. So the late Ace Bailey, who's a great friend of the hockey world and was died in the first plane that crashed in the building in 9/11, and he was a scout for LA. I was playing for the Kings,
right?
And he came up to me after the trade deadline. He goes, "You almost went to Detroit," and I'm like, "We're not going to make the playoffs." And
okay,
so and it's my last year. I pretty much know it's my last year. And I went, really?
What year is this, Russ?
1999.
Okay, yeah.
So he comes up, he goes, "Oh my God, I thought you were going to Detroit." There, I was on the conference call. So all the scouts are, I guess the scouts, the GM, they're all in the room together and they're getting calls, especially for teams that aren't going to make the playoffs. And we were an older team, so they're looking to get some of the players.
Sure.
And he goes, "Yeah, they're really, really interested in you." And then I think what happened, oh yeah, they traded for Wendell Clark and Chris Chelios. And then it just, whatever happened, you know, we ran out of time. And I'm like, "You ran out of fucking time? I could have went to Detroit." They're like Stanley Cup champions. Like, I could have had a shot. Oh my God.
Wasn't Babcock the coach back in that day?
Maybe he was. No, Scotty was the coach. Scotty was
Bowman,
the coach.
Okay.
So no. So anyways, that was after the trade deadline.
I could have got traded, but the guy ran out of time.
And I was like,
time?
Oh my God, I almost wish Ace hadn't have told me.
Yeah, right. How long were you in LA?
I had 2 years.
2 years.
My last 2 years. The farewell tour.
Your last 2 years. There you go. The rocking chair tour, they call it. So speaking of guys like Thornton and Diggs, who I think are should have shut their traps about their own team thing. Tom Brady, of course, I've had this down in my notes here to ask you a long time ago. So no one knows what's going to happen with Tom Brady. Everyone knows his career, him and Belichick, what they've done is off the map in terms of all sports, what they've done. Should Tom Brady retire or should he go to another team?
I think Tom Brady should play as long as he wants to play. I mean, he is so good and he's playing at a high level. Where I don't like to see guys play too long and you can see that they're slow or they look like somebody might freaking hurt them or but as long as he can play at that level, then why not? I mean, take the age out of it. Like, that's what we should all do, is just forget, take the age factor out. Mm-hmm. Look at an athlete and say, can he play at this level? And if he can, then he should keep going. But I think so many people think of age, how much money he's made, and the new rules in the NFL. I mean, why not?
My question more is, the equivalent might be, say, Sid Crosby in hockey. So Tom Brady is now faced with this decision, right, because of his contract.
Yeah.
Doesn't he owe it, Russ, if he's going to play anywhere, to stay with New England?
I think that's probably weighing on him in his decision, whatever he's going through is, do I stay? And I mean, let's face it, the guy's made a boatload of money.
Sure.
So the team's probably thinking, okay, we've got to pay him all this money and then we lose out on a young kid and grooming him and bringing him in. I mean, there's that factor too. Like, they don't want to lose a young quarterback to another team. They've already had to trade the one kid to San Francisco, who's a stud. Mm-hmm. And eventually they got to bring in a new quarterback. So the team's sitting there going, look, we love you, but we got to bring this guy in. And
yeah, because he can't play forever.
I mean, he's playing because he loves the game and he wants to win. So wherever he goes, it's going to be to win. And then it'll be, is this a good fit for my family? And then thirdly, it'll be the money. He's not making a decision based on money. It's based on, I can play and I got to go somewhere where I can play well. Because if he goes to a weaker team, he will get hammered. And okay, now I'm going to bring his age into it. You don't want to be getting hammered when you're a little older, but
screw up your life, right? Jimmy Garoppolo is the guy you're thinking of. Doesn't that sound slick? We got Stevie, our editor, okay, our producer, is typing notes out here now, Rusty. I think the other note is, as you get older, you realize you only have so many shots at this thing. This is Joe Thornton. And it would have been nice to have a chance. I wanted a shot. I've been hunting this thing down for 22 years. Yeah, and you haven't won, Joe. My next question, Russ, I have for you. This is news from the week. When you were playing hockey, Russ, have you ever bit a guy in the penis?
Fucking idiot.
There was a story. Before you think I've relapsed or something.
Oh, my God.
Or you were going to answer that. Huh?
No, I was going to say, remember I told you I kicked Scott Stevens in the nuts with my skate? That was a mistake.
The reason I bring it up, there's way off the page story. A soccer player out in a parking lot or something got in a scuffle and bit the guy in the knob, right? He's gone. He's gone for 5 years.
Shocker, it was a soccer player.
Yeah, exactly. Well, your kids play in it.
My girls do. And if you watch men and women, the women don't fall down and roll around like they've been shot. The men do. So you want to watch great soccer? Watch women.
How they get away with that, I don't know, in soccer. It's like,
oh, my God, it's embarrassing.
It's the biggest stigma in all of sports.
Whenever I get a little video on Instagram of a guy faking it, you know, you'll see these Instagrams like, here's the difference between hockey and soccer. You know, the hockey player gets a slap shot in the face and then gets up and finishes his shift and then he goes off and he's picking up his teeth.
Right.
And then some soccer player gets touched and the guy's rolling around like he got shot. And I
know.
I always send it to Steve Nash and I go, because he loves soccer. He owns part of the Whitecaps. He's big into soccer.
Yeah, right. He did say it was about Dave Tippett.
And he's, I get it. I got it. He does not like those videos of guys rolling around faking it.
What was that guy like, Steve? Now, I met him at your event. You invited him, and I bumped into him in the locker room. He seemed nice enough guy, but he seems kind of out there to me.
He's a great guy.
Great guy. Okay, good.
Really smart, interesting, and at our event, you know, he's letting his hair down and having a good time, like most people were, and so. Steve might have caught him at the wrong time, but Steve is a wonderful human being. He's a giver and really intelligent, really, really gifted. One of the best athletes I've ever met. I've probably mentioned this, Gary Lehman, Steve Nash, Wayne Gretzky, the three best athletes I've ever met in my life, seen in my life, been around.
Played 18 seasons, Canadian, of course, played 18 seasons in the National Basketball League. 8-time NBA All-Star, 7-time All-NBA selection, twice Nash's named the NBA most valuable player while playing for Phoenix.
Should have won it 3 years in a row, but they wouldn't put him in the category of all the greatest players because there's only a handful of guys that were 3-time MVPs. So the media got together and they didn't give it to him. And that season in his third in a row was, I think, better than the two previous seasons. It was a joke.
What, really, huh? So he should have won three times the most valuable player.
He should have won it 3 years in a row, yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Currently serves as senior advisor of the Canadian men's national team and as a player development consultant for the Golden State Warriors. Whoops.
Yeah. Now,
they're having the worst year, but what's his face is coming back? Curry. I guess he's ready shortly to come back. Anyway, great Canadian story.
Oh, yeah, he's speaking awesome.
Of, you know, I forget about him when you bring up names of great Canadian athletes. You know, the latest is Andreescu, the girl winning the U.S. Open, comes from way out in left field. I mean, she was good, but no one ever thought that. But Steve Nash, sure, as a in an American game.
Hell of a hockey player, too. Jeff and I, he was in our hockey school when we were a kid.
He was a good hockey player?
He was a really good hockey player. He was better in soccer than he was at basketball.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
You know, remember the show we had, and I asked you what are there some hockey players that you know who have these other exceptional talents, and you know, like Larry Robinson,
polo
player, right? He was exceptional. There's Jimmy Walker's a guy on the PGA Tour who is like spends all his time when not golfing as in like an astrologist. I'm not kidding. He's right. Wow. Like I saw a piece on the guy and all of it was, he's got like 52 telescopes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'll tell you one that the Hockey Night in Canada now, has a feature on the weekend where they load up with doubleheaders and all that stuff. And they do this Hockey Town thing on Sunday nights. At the end of these games on Saturday nights, they have a little hot stove thing that they started a few years ago. And they bring on players, sometimes two guys from the same team, a coach or someone else with a player. Like a couple weeks ago, they talked about the Calgary-Edmonton rivalry. And they brought on Jim Poplinski and Martin Jelena. Martin's who's a coach. Jim's long gone from the Flames. But it was really good, really good. And on the weekend, this weekend, they had Dave Tippett, the coach for the Edmonton Oilers. And not only is he this guy who's come in with the two or three teams that he's been with now, four teams, he played for Hartford way back. He automatically, on all three occasions that he came to these teams who were not going to make the playoffs, turned them around in the first season, and he's done this with Edmonton. So all that being said, and then they take questions and answers from the audience, you know, emails and stuff. This guy, Russ, had the choice to take a soccer scholarship or a hockey one. And he won a world skills competition in soccer.
Wow.
Okay. And I thought, what? And you know what he had to do? And he won this thing is you had to bounce the ball. You had to dribble the ball on one foot. You know how they keep it up in the air. Okay. You had to do it 300 times in a row on your right foot. You had to do it 300 times in a row on your left. And then you had to bounce it. And then I think it was 100 or I don't know, another 300 with your head. So it was
without
like,
dropping the ball?
Without dropping the ball.
Yeah.
It was like this incredible thing that the guy done. And I thought, is that ever cool? You know, there's stuff that you can find out about guys. And the other one is he's built two motorbikes. You know, if you've seen these shows about building bikes, right? It takes months and months. And the guy's got his hand.
You know what? Before you started telling this story, you should have told everybody, this is a good time to take a bathroom break. Oh, my God. Really?
Oh, come on. That's an interesting story.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
you know, it's too bad they didn't have this competition in a bar. You could have kicked ass with all the bar drinks.
Well, you know what I'd like to do, Russ, which would make a lot more sense, is to have a big feature every week on one of the extra interesting things that Russ has done away from hockey. That would be a lovely feature, Russ. Okay, let's see. Yeah, nothing. Yeah, okay.
Okay. So, what is this guy doing now that won this whole thing? What's he up to? So, I cut you off.
He's the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers. You missed the whole story.
Oh, fuck. I thought you said it was somebody in the audience.
No.
Oh, okay. No. See, that's why I was falling asleep.
Jesus.
Do you know Dave Tippett was my captain in the 84 Olympics?
Yeah, there we go.
And he's a silent, he was one of those quiet guys that led by example, had a quiet career, played a long, long time, great face-off man, penalty killer, and just a wonderful guy. And so I'm happy for him that he's doing so well. I had no idea that story you were telling. How did I miss that? How did I miss, this is Dave Tippett. You said this guy in the audience.
No, I said this guy at the Oilers. When they did I said Dave Tippett, didn't I?
No.
Maybe I missed it. I don't know.
Steve? Oh, he did? Fuck.
Russ, I went on at length about what he's done as a coach. Where he's
I know you started out with Dave Tippett, and then I got lost because it was boring.
I thought that's so weird, you know, because when you said that, I'm going, well, that fuck, am I losing my mind? Because that's a pretty interesting story.
Yeah, that is interesting. Sorry, everybody. So you're going to hear two things. Well, one, you always hear that.
Yeah.
And one you never hear is me apologize to Jim. Sorry, buddy.
Do you know how many times, Russ, that I've embarrassed myself when I did the radio show with Steve, who's our editor? We did a radio show together in Ottawa. How many times there'd be a topic and I'd be drifting away, and then they'd turn to me and go, "Your thoughts, Jimmy." I go, I don't know. Brian Burke.
Rusty. Berkey.
Yeah, Brian Burke, I think he's getting better and better. I thought he was too dry, a little too much of a low reactor. He is now a panel guest all the time on the weekend hockey games. And he's really good because he's very outspoken. And this week, he's come up with what the GMs are meeting in Florida right now.
Yeah.
And always these GM meetings are, I don't know what the fuck they're for, but the one big thing they're talking about, the emergency goalie situation. No. I said, really? Is that the big GM thing?
Oh, my God.
Anyway, Berkey said there's three or four things that he'd like to see changed, rules in the game. One of them is a no-brainer, that every year there's injuries that happen when players are getting on and off the ice with the bench door being open.
Yeah.
And he said that's a simple resolution.
Get rid of it.
You can't have the door open when play's going on. So
you know what I think they should do is get rid of it.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Good one.
Because these guys can jump over the boards. I mean, you can go. All hockey players at that age can jump over. There's a couple of small guys that would probably be a little choked, but
right. Leave it locked. Leave it locked during the game.
Yeah, and the guys like, you know, in Vancouver with one of their players, Bash,
Dave Tippett.
You're good. Anyways, somebody got hurt a couple years ago, and the player, his own player, left the door open. You know, just being, you know, I don't know. When we played, God, if the play came close to the bench and you had the door open, guys, you'd slam it right away.
Right.
It just seems too casual, but maybe just taking the doors out.
The other two are interesting. So hockey has been trying to increase player safety, you know, by calling more penalties, more suspensions, shit like that, the concussion stuff they're looking into and protocol, concussion protocol. And one of them is hits into the end boards, okay, chasing a guy down.
Yeah.
And we often see, you don't have to go very far, if you live here in Edmonton, that Connor McDavid separated his shoulder there a couple of years ago, getting whacked into the end of the boards. Berkey would like to see that you're allowed, it's called a bear hug, that you're allowed to sort of wrap a guy up even though you're going to hit him. So it is essentially what this rule is, that you can have your arm around him, but you can still smash him into the boards.
Oh, and lift him up.
Well, he thinks it'll cause less injury.
Yeah, guys used to, when they were allowed to put their arm around you and bear hug you, they would push you up in the glass and hold you, and then you couldn't get free, especially somebody like me. I would get a guy like, Dana Murzyn, one of these 6'4" defensemen, and they would just bear hug you, throw you up against the wall and hold you, and then let you go. And, they don't allow that anymore. So
I know what he's saying.
Cause they kind of lift and push you up against the glass.
Right.
And versus cross checking a guy or, you know, hitting a guy before he goes in the boards. The new rule is good though. The rate, you know, to the hash marks, to face off circle. And whoever's there first, they blow it down. I mean, I like that rule.
Yeah. In the old days, you know, the 70s and into the 80s, when everyone complaining about these big hits and that the players don't respect each other and it's kill or be killed. Back in the old days, the players say we did respect each other and we didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one wore helmets, of course, back then, but they didn't go after guys like they do now. They've been talking about that for a long time, saying, look, if players just didn't try and break a guy's fucking neck all the time when they went to hit him, you'd have less injury. Do you think there'll ever be a day, Russ, when a guy slows down coming in to flatten a guy?
Well, I think they've taken a lot of that crap out of the game because you can't hit in the head. Mm-hmm. And I think they've done a good job. I think it's better today than it was a couple years ago. And I just think that the chippy play where you don't back it up when a guy, you give it to somebody and then they want to fight and you're not going to fight them. I never threw an elbow or really cross-checked anybody because that was kind of an invitation of, okay, that was the start of let's go. And I was not a fighter. So I think today's game where you guys are acting a little tough, you didn't have that, in the 80s and
right.
the 90s and earlier. I mean, if you slashed a guy, you better, that was like, okay, we're on the dance floor, let's go.
But now they don't.
Well, I think now it's just, it got really chippy, really bad, head hit. The guys were headhunting, spearing, and they didn't have to back it up. And now I think they've taken a lot of that crap out of the game. And I don't know.
Except when Chara cross-checked the guy in the face the other day and never, they got to lay the law down there, but they didn't.
Well, that was, Chara's a tough customer and he'll freaking fight anybody. And he phoned and apologized, and that was a shitty reaction on his behalf of, the guy's 6'8", and the kid, Gallagher, he cross-checks like 5'8", or 5'9", or whatever he is.
Right.
And in the defense of the cross-check, if Gallagher was 6'2", it would have hit him in the freaking chest.
Right.
And I don't, I think he should have got suspended because he cross-checked and hit him in the head. Mm-hmm. And he didn't. I disagree with the call, and I agree with what Kane was saying. I don't agree with Kane too often, but
right.
he said, different rules for different guys. But
that's what the GM should be talking about.
Chara's not that guy, though. Chara's the guy that freaking fights everybody. I mean, he'll fight.
Right.
If I was 6'8", I'd fight everybody too, I guess. But
I'd fight two guys at once.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's some of the changes Brian Burke was talking about. And the final one was in, if you've been living in a cave, overtime now is 3-on-3 for 5 minutes. One of the problems with it is people love it. There's almost always a goal, or I'm assuming the high percentage of games that go into overtime are settled in overtime before the shootout. I love it. You love it. Most people love it. But one of the problems is you'll see if they're not set up right, they skate back out of the offensive zone, rewind, go way down to their own end. And so Burke is saying, to solve that, just have a shot clock, like in basketball.
Oh, that's not bad.
And then that's great. I love it because I think all these sports, even hockey, offense, man. We want offense.
Yeah, yeah. And you could imagine basketball if they just said, oh, nothing's going on. Let's go back and regroup.
Right, right. It'd be terrible.
Yeah, that's not bad. I like that.
Go. Okay. And then they could eliminate the shootout altogether if they put that in.
You know what the problem is of overtime?
Nothing. I like it.
They don't sell food and beer in the concessions. They're all closed.
Well, that's because have you ever been to a hockey rink, Russ? You probably haven't bought a beer in a fucking hockey rink in the stands. You probably haven't bought a beer in 35 years. It's about $100 to buy a beer. The reason there's no selling in overtime is everyone's out of fucking money by the time the game ends.
Jimmy on food stamps.
Couple other stories, Rusty.
Think of all the money you're saving by being sober.
Let me go back over the Dave Tippett story again and see how we do it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Dave. What a great story that was.
Thank you. There you go. This just in, Russ, today. Dustin Johnson, PGA star, former number one world player, great, great player, has won every year at least once in the last 10 or 11. Everyone knows who he is, son-in-law of the great one. By the way, congratulations to Wayne's son, Ty. He got married this weekend.
Yeah, Ty and Sarah.
Yeah, they got married. I text Gretz. I saw the pictures on Instagram. They got married at like the St. This thing just stinks of money, the St. Regis Hotel or something in New York City. I thought... Mm-hmm. I even text Gretz. I said, I hope they still have the tradition where the bride's family pays for the wedding. That thing would have been millions. Anyway, Ty, his oldest son, got married. And great hockey skills that he has, by the way. So check those out. Dustin Johnson, who's married to Paulina Gretzky. I find this shocking, okay? Absolutely shocking, but I think I know why. He has come out today and said, I'm not going to play in the Olympics in 2020. And I thought, well, maybe it's because of, you know, coronavirus. There was the other virus down in South America in Rio. And he said, no, I want to concentrate on the FedEx Cup playoffs.
Wow.
And we've had some of this talk in hockey, right, all the time. But the reason I think, and the Olympics are going to have to start to think about this, because it's going to happen more and more. The FedEx Cup playoffs is very convoluted, the scoring. But here's what everyone knows. The guy who wins it gets 10 mil, and it might be 15 million now. It might even be up. So there's no doubt in my mind, and Dustin doesn't need the money, but there's no doubt in my mind that is a factor.
Well, I think it's prestige. I think for a golfer, FedEx Cup.
Well, the Olympics isn't prestigious? Are you kidding me?
Well, not for a guy who's... this is all new to... Hey, the little kids playing golf out there aren't thinking about playing in the Olympics. They're thinking about playing on Sunday, every Sunday, and getting a trophy. It's a bonus that they get to play in the Olympics, but you can't tell me that all these golfers are like, oh, first thought was be an Olympian gold medalist and then make $100 million. Not a chance.
Yeah.
Not a freaking chance. And it's prestige. Dustin wants to be known as one of the best golfers of all time. He's had a taste for quite a while of being number one. And the FedEx is something that he really wants.
They're going to have to fix that, Russ. They're going to have to fix something. My point is maybe they've got to be a big prize money. But then all the other athletes and all the other events are going, okay, wait a minute here. I know this, that I spoke to years ago, 4 or 5 years ago now, the captain of the RNA, which is the head of golf. And they fought for years. For years they've been fighting to get golf into the Olympics. And when they finally got it done, was in Rio, was going to be the first ones. And a bunch of guys said, I'm not going. I don't want to get the virus. This sets it way back, I think, Russ.
Well, if those guys are dead serious about what they're saying, then don't have any events a week before or shut down all the golf for a month. And so these guys have no, they can go home and practice and get ready, but take away the big game, the big tournaments during the Olympics for a week before the whole month. Just say, you know what? The only tournament we're going to have, and it happens every 4 years in this month, is the Olympics. Who's in? And you know what? They'll all come.
Right. And then you move the other majors around. Right. Yeah. You'll never get rid of the four majors.
Well,
right.
if they're serious, then freaking do it.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
I know. I'm full of them.
Yeah. You're I love when you start getting a little drunk near the end of the show. It's really
I'm not
good.
Freaking drunk. I've had two freaking claws.
I love it. Yeah. You might have just had two claws.
Okay. Jeez.
Another thing, okay, before we go, two other things, okay? So spring training is open up in baseball. There's been some hilarious stories.
Oh, my God.
Did you read the drums? Did you read that about the guy who got caught pleasuring himself? Did you read that story?
Oh my God! Where's your head today?
I don't know. It just was, and there was a. Anyway, they had a hilarious little thing on Twitter where they showed the guy with a bunch of confetti exploding over his head.
Oh God, that's so freaking gross! I thought you were going to talk about the fan who was beating. They were beating the drums or whatever when Houston was at bat.
Well, it's sort of the same.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Jeez. So, anyway, okay.
The guy lives alone. I wonder.
I should have. Yeah.
Cats are scared.
So what everyone's concern is, the Astros come into spring training. Everyone knows the story now. They got caught cheating, stealing signs, and they started hitting batters. Okay, not everyone blew this up like it was a record amount, but I found out later. It was just sort of above average of how many times players get hit in spring training.
Just good enough to win the World Series, that's all.
I don't want to go over the whole thing. It's been around for a long time, but I want to ask you, what should be the penalty for the Houston Astros for doing what they did.
They should lose their title.
There you
go. I mean, if you cheat and you win at anything, I mean, if you cheat in the Olympics, you take steroids and you win, they take it away.
Rip the banner down, give back your rings, your World Series rings.
Yeah, just tell them that they have to give them back.
And who gets the, so there's a no winner that year?
Well, that's the question. What do? Do you give it to the second place team? And those guys probably don't want it either.
Right.
Probably just make it a
non-year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if the loser should win, but definitely the cheater who won shouldn't.
Okay, Rusty, I don't think we talked about what happened after this. I love this story. You had a personal connection to Bobby Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
When Bobby. He left the game a few months ago under the guise of personal issues and came back a few months later and said, I was in the substance assistant program.
Yeah.
The NHL. And he had a press conference and said, yes, I'm an alcoholic and I've got help for it and I'm on my way. And then we got to talk about it in the last show that you know the young man and you're kind of a mentor of his and have been talking to him the whole way through. Russ, he goes out his first game back and gets a hat trick.
I think it was his second game back, first game at home.
Okay.
But
how's that though?
I know it was so great and he was emotional. Everybody was emotional and Bobby is a great kid. He, I've known him for a couple years now and we met at Gauzer. He bought up there and, that's how I got to know him. And when he checked himself in, he texted me from the plane on his way there. And then I saw him while he was here in LA. We hung out one day and, and I just check in with him once, hey, how you doing? So this is when he's back in Ottawa. He says, I'm bored. I'm in great shape. I don't know the process of what he had to go through to get back in, but I was just checking in. I'm his friend. So I check in and he goes, I don't think I've ever been in better shape. And I hope it translates onto the ice and into my game, but I feel really good. I just really want to get out there. And then I'm like, Bobby's got to be playing. And I literally went on DirecTV and I'm watching him play, getting his hat trick. I'm like, oh my God. So I text him right away. And his response was, he's really funny. And he goes, all I want to do is go to bed. I just want to go to bed. Then he said, thank you very much. And, you know, it's been a long road, but I'm feeling good. So he's a good kid. He's a really good kid. He's funny. He's got a young family and just trying to, you know, balance his life out and be a good person, which he is.
His quote was, I was trying the white knuckle thing and do things the wrong way, Ryan said. I've had 20 days of nothing and one, I'd have 20 days of nothing and then one real bad one. And you just can't get better without help. There's such a stigma around asking for help and I was trying to do it. I've done that for a long time and now he's come around. And to me, Russ, it's just one of the biggest sort of comeback stories or statement games, when we hear about this personal situation that people are in and your heart always drops going, oh no, I hope he can regroup. And to come back and get a hat trick there when he went home was just outrageously cool.
Yeah, it was great.
You probably deserve some credit. So that's
I don't. I just said I'm a friend, and when you're a friend through the good times and bad times. And so I did what anybody else would do to their, with their friend. And he just happens to be a hockey player. But I did one thing I did do right away was I introduced him to my brother, Jeff, who hasn't drank since 2010 and great career, great player. And so
you may want to get him away from you.
Yeah. I connected those two because I think a lot of people when they go through divorce or they go through any problem, they think that they're the first. And they're all alone. Yeah. And Bobby was saying, when we got together in LA, and he said, I can't believe how many people have reached out to me and told me, you know, I share the same issues as you, or, you know, if you ever need, here's my cell. Mm-hmm. If you ever need to call me, you know, I'm there for you. And he goes, I've never met any of these people, but I know who they are. And so I think that made him feel really good. And that's why I introduced him as Jeff, who I don't know if he's ever met Jeff at Gaza or anything, but mm-hmm. I just thought, okay, you know, here's somebody who played the game, understands like how much fun we have and the ups and downs and the stress and family life and all that stuff. So, he was like, Bobby, when I saw him, he goes, your brother likes to work out. Seems like he's poured everything into that. And I go, yeah, he's in better shape now than when he played. He's doing two-a-days.
Jesus. He still works out like a maniac?
Oh, brother? My God, yeah.
You know. Yeah. I've saved Russ. Usually I do questions, you know, for you, or we do shout-outs to listeners, but I've saved it for what I think is the greatest one we've had. You know, we think about our show and who we're trying to appeal to, and we started having a few meetings with, you know, we got to go after this crowd and all that stuff. I mean, it's a man's world is what they talk about in our show. Hi, guys. I love your show. My son got me listening to it. I'm 75 years old and I'm a woman, but I know most of the players that you're talking about. We used to live in Sudbury, Jim, where I'm from. I think your dad was the Speaker of the House, which is correct. He was. We moved from Burlington to Sudbury. When Peter Silverman offered my husband a job, he later on quit. However, it was the best 8 years of my life. Great memories. 75 years old, and that's from Judy. Okay, she went on to talk about some other things. And it's,
yeah. Judy.
Judy Martin gets a huge shout-out. 75-year-old woman listening to our show.
That's
so
great.
That's cool.
That's why we got to keep the F-bombs down. Sorry if I threw out. I think I had three today.
No, that's okay, Russ. You wouldn't want to break your string, you know. That's all fine and dandy. Okay, Rusty, time to go. Another great show in the books. The Suspendables. We have a merchandising store now.
Oh my God! Here we go.
The Suspendables.shop. We got some. I was over there today looking at all the cool stuff that they have. You can Elite Promotional Marketing, if you're interested in getting your merchandise of your company or something, check them out. ElitePromotionalMarketing.com. Thanks to them for setting up the shop. And we've got an email, Stevie. I should have this in front of me. TheSuspendables@yahoo.com. And we've a few emails have come in. We'll read them next week. We'll start to read more and more of them. Anyway, there we go, Russ. Another one in the books. What are you going to do now? Whose life are you going to go screw up?
I was sitting here thinking about you saying there was three breweries in Canada when you worked for Molson's. And when we when I played for the Montreal Canadiens and we'd bus from Montreal up, bus back after the game, we'd get St. Hubert's chicken, a box of chicken and fries.
Chicken, sure.
And we'd get two 2-4s on the bus. And Pat Burns would always make sure it was the worst beer that they had.
Oh, Jesus, Pat, yeah.
Do you remember Black Label?
Black yeah. Label? Oh, my God.
Carling O'Keefe, yeah, it was awful yeah. beer. So they'd have yeah. two 24-packs on the bus so nobody would drink it because they just couldn't stand it, especially after a game. It was strong and bitter, whatever it was. And Yerky Loomy. Sure. He only played a couple years in Montreal before Pat Burns ran him out of Montreal for missing curfew by 20 minutes, sent him to Vancouver.
Uh-oh.
He would sit, we'd sit in the aisle in the bus, but we'd sit in the aisles in the bus. So he'd be in the seat across from me in the aisle, and I'd be in yep. my seat, and we'd put the 24-pack and fill it full of ice because no one else is drinking it. And I'd start at one corner, and he'd start at the other, and we'd drink all 24 by the time we got to Montreal.
It's not a very long drive. Holy Jesus.
It was a couple hours up, and on the way back, it was 3 hours because Pat didn't want anyone going to the bar. But
there you go. Okay.
I was sitting there. Yerky Loomy, he had strong Finnish accent. And I think he had it down yeah. to a time, like we had to drink the beer at a certain amount of time. And so he'd look at his watch and goes, to the bottom, to the bottom.
I've never, you know, Europeans are traditionally teetotalers, aren't they?
Oh,
am I wrong? Or what?
No, you're wrong.
I've seen Canadian guys drink their heads off and not get drunk. I thought Canadians
were... Esa-Tikkanen? Are you kidding me? He was a plus three.
I've been with that guy. He couldn't even say his name after he had about... Oh, you're right. It was 30 beers.
No, the Europeans could drink.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought they were all teetotalers. I thought they couldn't handle their beer.
Maybe now, but not then.
Wow. Well, there we go. What a lot everyone has learned today, Rusty, on the show. You get out of here, and we're back each and every week. You've been listening to The Suspendables. We're going to have to think of an extra, Russ, you and I, some sort of clicky thing that we do.
Okay.
There we go. That's good enough. Yeah. Burp, Russ, for us. That'll be the time.
No, you burp tonight.
Okay. We'll talk to everybody next week.
See ya.
The Suspendables is a weekly hockey series with Jim Jerome in Edmonton and Russ Cortinel in L.A. A new episode every Tuesday morning on Wooshka, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow The Suspendables on Facebook and Twitter. Reach us at thesuspendables@yahoo.com. And of course, we appreciate you sharing this podcast with your group of friends.